This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Hour number two, Ben Woods on a Friday. Again, no Woods on his way to a family vacation weekend in Las Vegas. No Paul Reindl. He is under the weather. And he is legitimately under the weather. Full disclosure, Paulie texted me yesterday afternoon after he got home. He said, I thought maybe I'd start feeling better after, you know, getting a little bit of rest, didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And he goes, I'm going the wrong direction. I'm feeling worse. Before I text Adam, is there a possibility you'd also like to get sick tomorrow and we just take the entire show off? Because he said, you know, it's going to be tough to pull this off without me or Woods there. And I said, no, I know there's going to be some hiccups, but I want to be there for the tier ones. It's been a week. I think we should be here, be appreciating that we actually have the opportunity to be on the air. We have had some hiccups in the first hour, no doubt about it. A couple technical difficulties. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus here, Adam. Kyle, bless you, in our chat, says you guys are all doing your best. Isn't that's the last refuge of the polite person, isn't it? When you can't think of anything else nice to say, then you say, I know you guys are doing your best. And your best just isn't very good, obviously, right now. But we are trying. Adam is trying. We have Sam Levitt. I don't think he's actually done anything wrong at all. His equipment's working. He looks good in Peoria, Arizona. Sammy, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, great to be here. I didn't hear any of the technical difficulties, but I have, and somebody pointed it out in the YouTube chat, I have this vision of Woods in the car just yelling at his radio, hearing whatever what was going on during that last segment.
We're all praying that he's not listening right now. Adam, how glad are you that it's me sitting here and not Woods this morning? Just be honest.
On a scale from 1 to 10?
Yeah.
12.
I thought so. I'm being gentle. I'm trying to be gentle.
But I appreciate you bringing it back up this segment, because that was definitely necessary.
We will move on, and things will hopefully get a little bit smoother as we go forward. But as Woods has taught me, and this is absolutely something that he has taught me, sometimes the mistakes are the good parts. You know, I used to plow through them. I sometimes still do, but Woods will always stop down whenever there's a mistake, lean into it, and admit, guess what? Just like everybody else out there, we're not perfect. We're going to make a bunch of mistakes as well. You can either ignore them or you can celebrate them. And that's Woods' philosophy. Sammy, hey, let's celebrate some of the mistakes that we're inevitably going to make because nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect, and I've learned that, too, over the course of my time in the business. When I first started, literally every time I would make a mistake during a game, I would get so angry. I would pound the desk. Like, literally, during the game, you used to be able to hear it on the air. I remember Cape Cod League, and I think we're going to do something on this a little bit later.
We
with
are.
Teams I work for. But I used to get so mad that I used to flub a word, and I used to literally go, and you could hear it in the background of how angry I would get. So now I mean, flub words all
the time. As someone who's had to live through segments of Ben's flubs now, that the, you know, at the end of shows, at the end of weeks, Sammy's flubs at the end of every Cape Cod League baseball broadcast. See, that would have been funny. That would have been enjoyable. Yeah. But, yeah, actually, we are going to talk a little bit about that. I'll save that for Real or Fake a little bit later this morning. I want to jump into basketball. Another tough thing about this job in particular is if you are doing it right, you have to have a certain degree of fearlessness and honesty, and you have to be willing to know that the people you cover, athletes, coaches, aren't always going to like what you have to say. And last night at the Lakers-Knicks game, there was a viral moment, I don't know if you saw it, Sammy, on the internet, where LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith, who was at the game and was standing there courtside, LeBron confronted him angrily. And, you know, I don't know how much is going to come out about what was actually said between the two. It seemed like, you know, according to the lip reading crowd, LeBron was kind of leave my son out of that. I would assume some sort of comments about Bronny and, you know, nepotism and just being in the NBA and not being ready for it. I don't know exactly what Stephen A has been saying, but it looked like a fairly tense moment on the sideline where, you know, it didn't look like it was ever going to come to blows, but I'd imagine, you know, Steven stood there, listened to him, and respect to him. LeBron is an intimidating guy, obviously. He's, you know, he's 6'10", of just filled of muscle. Steven's a much smaller guy, but he stood there, listened to what LeBron had to say, and I respect Stephen A. Smith, you know, but you are going to say things that not every athlete, not every person, not every coach, GM is going to agree with in this job. And you have to be willing to, I think, then listen to what they have to say back. If you're going to be fair, you have to listen to what they're going to say back.
Yeah, I think with Stephen A., one of the unique parts with him is that, and I don't know if I'm crazy saying this, but he's almost as big of a name and a star as the athletes are, which is super, super rare. And he does make himself available. Like, Stephen A will go to these games, and I'm sure that's part of the reason he was sitting there, because he knew that LeBron was not happy and he wanted to be there. And if LeBron wanted to say something to him, he was available to do it. And obviously they had what looked like a tense conversation. So, you know, Stephen A is kind of unique in the stratosphere he's in right now and kind of what he can do and what he can say. But you're going to say things that don't always make people happy. And, you know, I think making yourself available is important, which Stephen A obviously did. There's a lot of that going on right now. Like, I don't know if you saw last night what Charles Barkley said about Kendrick Perkins, and with the NBA these days, there's just constant chatter about, you know, who's good for the game, what's good for the game, who's ruined this, who's ruined that, who's better than this, what era is better than that, and it's kind of exhausting, the constant back and forth of retired players and media wars and all of it. We continue.
Well, whether or not you're a Lakers fan or a Knicks fan, it was an event last night, you know, one of the biggest, I think, in the NBA this season. Spike Lee made it all the way out. You know, you have the stars in Los Angeles out, and the game lived up to the hype. It was fantastic. The Lakers rallied from 10 down in the fourth quarter, force overtime. Josh Hart had a basket to win it. He made the basket to win it, except didn't get it off in time on a finger roll in the lane. It came about half a second too late. And then in overtime, Jalen Brunson got hurt and landed on Austin Reeves' foot. And, you know, Gamley sank the two free throws, but then had to limp to the locker room as the Lakers pulled it out. Luka and LeBron were both fantastic. I mean, it was good NBA drama. I know we're not, you know, we don't have a huge NBA audience here, but it was fun sports last night to watch. And, you know, as a Lakers fan, I'm obviously more interested than most, but I think anybody would have enjoyed the entertainment value of last night's game. It was one of the best ones I have seen in basketball this year. And then tomorrow, Lakers hit the road. They play the Celtics. So, you know, get the final big boss, at least here in the regular season, to see just how far LeBron and Luka have progressed in their, you know, 2 or 3 weeks together as teammates when they face the defending champs and, you know, presumably favorites going into the postseason here in about another month or so when they start the NBA playoffs. College basketball, though, I want to bring it back locally. Congratulations again last night to the UCSD Tritons, won their 12th straight game. It was a little closer than maybe you thought. It's the first time they haven't actually beaten the spread in their 12-game winning streak, but they did hold on to beat Long Beach State 70-63 on senior night at Lion Tree Arena. And with the win, the Tritons clinched at least the share of a Big West title for the first time in school history. They're 17-2 in the conference. Tyler McGuy and Aniwaniwa Tate Jones both had 20 points last night. They were honored. Aniwaniwa Tate Jones in particular, like his whole family from New Zealand came out, and they're staying out for the Big West tournament next week and the NCAA tournament as well. This is a fun group. I know they don't get the kind of attention that San Diego State or other D1 programs get, but it's one of the best stories, I think, in college basketball this year is what UCSD has done in their first year of D1 eligibility. They are officially two wins away from the NCAA tournament. They need to win in the semifinals of the Big West tournament next week, Sammy, and then probably a rematch against Irvine, the other best team in the conference in the final. With the winner getting that automatic bid. It's fun March stuff here for college basketball fans.
Yeah, it's a great time of year. I mean, conference tournament time, and good for UCSD. What year did they make the transition to D1?
There's essentially a four-year waiting period. They were D2 5 years ago. Then you have to play four seasons kind of like on probation where you're not allowed to play in the Big West or the NCAA tournament. Even if you were the best team, they wouldn't let you. And then this is the first year where they're off their kind of transition period and can actually be eligible for the NCAA tournament. Good timing for Eric Olin's team. I invited Eric on. They have a flight. They're going up to Davis for their final regular season game, so they were actually hopping on a flight. But hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him next week, either at the Big West tournament in Vegas or, you know, after Selection Sunday. They get their name called. I've seen them up to number 11 in some bracketology now, which is the same as San Diego State. You know, they are right there, potentially even as an at-large selection possibility. If you're San Diego State, you're cheering for UCSD, because if they lose and then get an at-large bid, you're now competing against them. Now, San Diego State has that head-to-head win in the first game of the year at Viejas Arena that, you know, might give them the edge, but that was a long time ago. And since then, UCSD has only gotten better and better and better. San Diego State has kind of had their starts and stops over the course of the season. And, of course, the Aztecs have a huge, almost must-win game tomorrow if they want at least a chance at an at-large bid. Got to beat Nevada. Senior night at Viejas Arena tomorrow. That'll be a big one. They always seem to bounce back from losses with wins, especially at home. It's some crazy stat, like 39-4 or something in their last 43 games after losses. Got to do it again. And then they'll go and see what they can do in the Mountain West tournament next week. Either bolster their resume with a couple of wins or claim the automatic bid by winning all three games and, you know, just making sure that you're into the field of 68 next Sunday. But I love March. March Madness, I think, is not the best way to determine the best team. There's too much randomness when you have a 68 single elimination, you know, team tournament. You're going to have so many upsets. Like when San Diego State made the Final Four, they were a 5 seed. You had Florida Atlantic was like a 9 seed. I mean, UConn was a 5 seed. You're not going to necessarily get the best teams, but you're going to get the most drama in a tournament format like that, and I always love March Madness.
Yeah, I love it too. And look, I think the UCSD part of it, they would do themselves a favor by winning the conference tournament and getting the automatic bid, not leaving it up to the committee, because it would be a real shame for them to have the season they've had without an NCAA tournament appearance. And it's a weird part of this time of year, especially for, you know, the smaller conferences where you know, it often happens where you have teams that dominate the regular season, easily win a regular season conference tournament, regular season conference championship, and then get to the tournament and crazy stuff happens because it's March and it's single elimination and you have to play a bunch of games in consecutive days. So I'm rooting for UCSD. I hope they can kind of put the cherry on top on what's been a terrific season for them.
All right, good basketball talk. We got Don't Do This coming up next. I believe we had this story a few months ago. We got an update, though. The former Olympian, who is now the subject of a $10 million reward on the FBI's Most Wanted list, is going to kick off our DDT segment coming up next with Ben and...
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sammy.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
DDT is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do Set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. This is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Did I do that right, Adam? That was his suggestion that I added the this at the end. So we had the don't, do, and this all in the sponsor read. Happy with me? He doesn't look
thrilled.
Doesn't look that happy with me at the moment. All right, let's get to it. And this is a story I believe we talked about a few months ago in Don't Do This, but it has taken not a surprise turn, but it has gone to the next level. The FBI has announced, Sammy Levitt, a $10 million reward for information leading to the arrest of former Olympic snowboarder Ryan Wedding. The 43-year-old Canadian is wanted for allegedly running a multinational drug trafficking network and orchestrating multiple murders related to the drug ring. He is a crime lord. He is a drug kingpin that used to be an Olympic snowboarding star from Canada, which is weird. He's got aliases out there: El Jefe, Public Enemy. James Conrad King is also a name he goes by. Keep an eye out. I mean, he could be in Peoria, Arizona right now. Maybe we should get the mugshot up so everyone, all the tier ones can. What would you actually do, though? I mean, if I saw like a guy who's clearly wanted for multiple murders, I would not want him to see me like dialing up the FBI if I like right away. So, you have to be very careful with $10 million rewards, I think.
So they don't know where he is at all.
Well, yeah, obviously. Wow. If they knew where he was, they would arrest him. But he is on the lam. He is
That's quite a
turn. He's on the run.
From,
he's out there. You know, he is.
But you said gold medalist?
He was.
Or just Olympian?
He was an Olympian. I don't think he won a gold medal.
Quite a turn from Olympian snowboarder to kingpin.
I mean, he probably wasn't making a ton of money. As he finished 24th. At the 2002 Olympic Games. So, probably wasn't paying the bills, and he turned to a life of crime. And now he is wanted all over the world. Ryan Wedding, 10 most wanted.
Wow.
Well, there's that. There you go.
Pretty crazy. Right. Don't run, drug organizations.
And I thought Canadian people were all supposed to be so nice. Yeah, I guess not. I mean, if you don't want to be on the FBI's most wanted list.
Wow.
All right, story.
But he's on the American FBI? Is that the Canadian FBI?
He's like worldwide. This is our FBI.
Worldwide FBI.
You know, the State Department has a $10 million. Maybe they think he's potentially here. I mean, the drugs obviously float into the United States here in Southern California.
Right.
So, just because you're Canadian doesn't mean you're not wanted other places and commit crimes in other places. But, U.S. authorities allege his group killed two members of a family in Canada in retaliation for a stolen drug shipment in what officials there say was a case of mistaken identity, as well as two other people. So that's bad. You're killing the wrong people. Definitely not a good scene. Let's see. Story number two. Got this audio. It's actually from a couple of days ago. Kevin Durant is one of the probably 10 to 15 best NBA players of all time. I think he's a thoughtful guy, and I oftentimes feel for him because he wasn't built to be in the NBA spotlight. He just wasn't. I think he would have been happier living a more anonymous lifestyle, but you don't get to do that when you're making millions of dollars to play basketball on television every night. So a couple of nights ago, the Suns were playing the Clippers. Suns were down like 20. And the Phoenix crowd, it's been a miserable season. They're four or five games under 500. They started booing, and KD didn't like that. Now, they came back and won that game, but here's what Kevin Durant had to say afterwards. Kind of rubbed me and I think some of the fans the wrong way.
Yeah, I always wonder what booing is going to do for your team. Like, it actually makes no sense. If you really want to make your voice be heard, just get up and leave. And we'll feel that more than you booing. So we need energy, you know what I'm saying? We down 20, we need to get a little louder in there and cheer a little louder. And that was my thing once I started talking to the crowd. It's just like, booing has been a part of the sports culture for the last 50, 60 years. I think it's about time we put that up, you know what I'm saying? Just get up and leave if you don't feel like watching the team play bad basketball. And we will understand, and that will make us feel even worse.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all getting up and leaving. But the energy that they show, how loud they get on a good night, I mean, it's second to none. So I wanted to ignite that as much as possible.
Right. So Kevin Durant, Sammy, thinks that booing should not be a part of going to at least a professional sporting event. Your thoughts first on KD's opinion.
I think when fans pay good money to go to a game, I think booing is fair, allowed, part of the deal, even if players don't like it. It's one of the only ways fans can express their opinions and thoughts on what's going on with the team. So I understand why players don't like it, but I am generally always fine with
I think what KD is missing is not part of the sports culture. It's part of human nature. You spent God knows how much money, even to go to a Suns game, probably hundreds of dollars after, you know, four tickets, popcorn, soda, hot dog, beers, and your team is just stinking it up on the court and down 20 points. It's just human nature. You're gonna express your displeasure. Why can't Kevin Durant be motivated by the booing just as much? He said he wanted people to leave. Well, that's the last thing the Suns want, is people just walking out of the arena. So I'm sure they aren't exactly happy to hear about that. But ultimately, if you're going to be and go into professional sports, you have to have a thicker skin. And Kevin Durant, unfortunately, is one of the most rabbit-eared, thin-skinned superstars that we have really had in my lifetime. And again, it's not, I think it's just kind of part of who he is, and he's just been unable to really adapt to what it takes to be in the spotlight. Great guy, again, smart guy, thoughtful guy. Was not built for this sort of lifestyle, though. Just from the whole Golden State thing, and his entire career has just been kind of one awkward misstep after another. Off the court, on the court, obviously, great player.
Yeah, I've kind of soured on KD the last handful of years. I didn't, I wasn't mad about the Golden State thing. I understood why fans hated it, right? Because you don't want, you know, a guy who's competing against a team of that caliber to then join up. It feels wrong. It feels anti-competition. But KD, in the last handful of years, you know, goes to Brooklyn, asks out of Brooklyn, and finds his way to Phoenix. You know, now looks like maybe he's going to get out of there. It just always seems to be not KD's fault, even though he's the best player on a lot of these teams.
And we've talked to, like, Manny about this, you know, when the Padres are struggling, fans at Petco Park are booing. He says, yeah, let us have it. You know, if we're not playing well, let us have it. It's not, if you're booing as a fan, it doesn't mean you don't like your team, you hate your team. It's just an emotional reaction to what's going on in front of you at the moment. It doesn't make you hypocritical if your team then comes back and you start cheering them. That's good. That's great.
And battling the fans in the media is typically a losing battle. You are never going to win that battle. It's typically not the great thing to do.
And then finally, since I'm a little basketball obsessed, or a little doo-doo this...
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
We were talking about that Lakers game. In that second half, with all the excitement going on, they did their half-court contest, and they brought out a fan shooting a half-court shot for $100,000. Ball, Lakers fan, sank that thing in front of everybody at Crypto.com Arena, banked it in to win $100,000. And what I really enjoyed is that the video started making its rounds, and he's on Twitter. So I saw his tweet. He goes, I did a thing. He quote tweeted it and had the video circulating around. But those are always good moments. I never get tired of the $100,000 or $50,000 or win your tuition for a year shot at a college basketball game. I think it is one of the most compelling timeout content you can do at a basketball game.
Did you see the recent one where the guy did the full court golf?
Oh, into the little tiny
hole in the board?
Yeah.
Wow.
I still think those kind of competitions are the best content during a timeout at a basketball game. I wish they'd do more in baseball. They don't ever do that in baseball, where a guy can come out onto the field in between innings and, like, don't know what you could do. You could have like a target. He's out in center field and have a target at home plate. And if he like throws it or third base, whatever, he throws it right in the bucket.
Do the Tom Omansky drill with the trash can.
Yeah, throw it right in the trash can. And if he throws it in, he wins $50,000 or something. I would like that content at a baseball game if they would do that.
Now, of course, every once in a while, somebody makes one of these shots or one of these putts, and then you find out there's some sort of insurance thing.
No, we had last week. He stepped over the line, and they took away his money because he stepped over the line. It's true. And that's Don and Doo-Doo this for a Friday. Don't have the clothes, Adam. That's okay. When we come back, Sammy, I want to talk. Actually, Adam brought this up. What direction do you want to see the Padres go in left field? And I'm not talking about necessarily pick your specific guy, but are you going with the known veteran quantity, or would you rather see the Padres take a flyer on a more unknown, like a Tirso Ornelas type or an Eggie Rosario, and see if, you know, shoot the moon and go for the big-time results out in left field, or are you better with the safer option this season? We can get to that coming up with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Good stuff in our chat. From Fantasy Camper, Jeff West.
It was nice to meet Jeff out in Peoria in January at Fantasy Camp, Sammy. And we were talking about what baseball could possibly do as a contest, you know. And you probably see it more in the minor leagues because they do more promotions. But he suggested a pop fly contest in between innings to win a prize. It is, I mean, you know, those high pop flies are much harder to catch than I think people realize, especially when you're just going out there cold to try to catch one in the outfield. Pointed out that the Braves, Adam's Braves, do they beat the freeze, the guy in the track suit, the spandex track suit, who then gives everybody a head start and runs along the warning track in the outfield. And I think if you beat him, you win some sort of prize. But I love the between inning entertainment if you can get it, especially if it's like there's a prize on the line. I find that very compelling.
It's great content. You're right. In the minor leagues, we would have really, really wacky stuff. We would have, I forget what they were called. We would have these big inflatable balls that people would
joust balls where you like fight against each other from inside the balls.
Yes. Yeah. And then in center field, people would run into each other in those. There was a lot of other wacky stuff. I will say, the pop fly thing is a good idea because that's a lot harder than it looks.
And it has drama built in because when it's in the air, obviously, and the guy's circling around, everyone's starting to, you know, it's entertaining to watch someone fall also
and
on their ball.
And it's hard,
yeah.
And it's hard. It's really, really hard when the ball's all the way up in the air. So, that stuff's always cool. You can sign me up for any in-between inning entertainment. I'm always for it. I will say I wish they would do this on MLB TV, like when I do have to watch the games on there. They always go to commercial. One of the nice things about NBA League Pass is they keep it on the arena feed. So you always see everything going on inside the arena during the commercial breaks, and you get a real feel for some of the timeout stuff and games and contests and things like that. So love that stuff.
That is Sam Levitt. He is filling in today. Woodsy's off. Paulie's going to be here for most of the rest of the show, I believe. We're also going to have Bob Scanlon joining us. He's been in Peoria. You and Bob are going to be calling the prospect game, what do they call it? The spring breakout game next Friday here on 97.3 The Fan. Sammy, looking forward to that. Last year it got rained out. Hopefully it will not be rained out this year, but that'll be fun to work with Scan for a game here on our airwaves.
Yeah, hopefully much better weather than what we have today, because today is much like what it was that day last year when they had the spring breakout game. But it's going to be fun. I mean, I think you look at the list of pitchers that are scheduled to, I don't know who's going to throw, because it might end up, depending on their throwing schedule for that day in particular. But you just look at the roster. I mean, Cash Mayfield, Boston Bateman, two top picks from last year's draft. Obviously, we've seen Braden Nett, Isaiah Lowe, another guy that that they're high on. You know, some other guys in that mix. You know, we've seen Ethan Salas, but Lamar King Jr., another catcher that was drafted last year. You've got Cobb Hightower, you know, highly touted infield prospect. A number of other guys as well. Kavaris Tears, who was a pretty high pick last year, really good player at Tennessee. So a lot of guys that we'll see that we haven't seen in Cactus League games, and should be fun to call that game a week from today here on 97.3 The Fan. Yes.
So, Sam, I wanted to talk more about the Padres left field situation. And, you know, we've been updating all the different guys who've been getting shots out there and, you know, how they've been doing. But, again, you also can't simply go on spring training results. I think there's a bigger picture conversation to be had as to what direction you want to see the Padres go. Not specific person, but direction. Do you want them to go with the more established big leaguer with a probably lower ceiling at this point? Let's be honest. Jason Hayward's not about to have a career year at the age of, what is he now, 34?
35,
I think. You know, probably not going to have a career year. You know, Connor Joe is a little bit more of a known commodity and a little bit younger, but you kind of know what you're getting with those guys, and it should probably be decent, but not fantastic. Or you can go with the lesser-known commodity, an Eggy Rosario, a Tirso Ornelas. Oscar Gonzalez is a bit of a mix. He had some major league experience and then dropped off the map with Cleveland after that really great 2022 season that he had. I mean, looking at the numbers, Tirso continues to have probably the best spring of just about anybody. He's got 9 hits and 22 at-bats, home run, 4 walks, .409 average, .500 on base percentage, a .1227 OPS. If you're just looking for the guy who's the hottest, you will say Tirso Ornelas. Yeah, it's your job to win. But when you do that, you're also risking, you know, a rookie season, a guy who is unproven at this level that could go through massive slumps. Jackson Merrill didn't, but most guys do. Are you willing to kind of go through those ups and downs, the trials and tribulations of the young guy with the hopes that, you know, and he's not going to hit .409, but what if he does put up big time OPS numbers that Jason Hayward's probably not going to? Is that worth the experiment of Tirso Ornelas in left field?
Well, I also think you have to consider that with the younger players, if they're not starting, what are you asking them to do if they are on a major league roster, right? Let's say an Eggy Rosario makes this team, or Tirso Ornelas makes this team. You know, Eggy's been in a situation in the major leagues where he has come off the bench before, but Tirso is a guy who's used to playing every day. So is that the situation with a guy like that, that you want him in a bench role where he might start once a week and he's not really going to play? I would almost rather a guy like Tirso be down at AAA getting regular at-bats, and then when you, in all likelihood, need him, he's ready to come up and help you. Look, I would be totally fine if the Padres looked at this and said, we want to go young as far as a starting spot in left field. Give a guy an opportunity, whether that's an Eggy, whether that's a Tirso, to play every day and see what they can do. Jason Hayward at least has, you know, experience coming off the bench. I agree with you totally about the ceiling part of it, because we don't know. I don't know what the ceiling is for Eggy Rosario if he gets more regular at-bats. I don't know what the ceiling is for Tirso Ornelas when he finally gets the major league opportunity. I think you know more of what Jason Hayward is probably going to be at this age. So, you know, if you would have asked me a few weeks ago, Ben, when we got here, I would have said, let's see what Jason Hayward's got, right? Let's see what he's got on a more everyday basis, you know, and kind of see what he's got left in the tank. But as we go along here and as guys continue to impress, like Tirso and Eggy, I'll be honest, I kind of lean almost the other way now of, you know, maybe it makes more sense for Hayward to be that bench guy and give a guy like a Tirso or an Eggy, you know, an opportunity, or somebody else could be another name that's been in the mix, an opportunity to, you know, play more so every day and see what they can do.
So my mind is really split on this, and I'll explain exactly why. There's the fan part of my brain, and then there's the part of my brain that thinks maybe a little more like AJ Preller, and I will get to that after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Sam Levitt in Peoria, Arizona, and we're talking about the Padres left field situation. So I think the fan side of me, and there's a There's a Padres fan still in there, even after all these years in the media. I grew up as a Padres fan. I understand the perspective. And I think the fan part of me says, I want to see the young guy. I want to see the potentially guy, you know, Tirso Ornelas hit, what, 20-something home runs in the minor leagues last year. Again, AAA, good hitters league. But he started out really hot here in spring training, signs of carrying that over. I like the idea of the guy who could be an instant offensive force. I mean, Jackson Merrill did it last year. The Padres have shown the ability to foster a rookie in the outfield to have a really good type season. We saw Tirso Ornelas already appearing, I think it was sixth in the National League Rookie of the Year odds this week from Bovada. That, to me, could be a huge injection that we weren't even expecting for the San Diego Padres. And, by the way, the Padres should be taking a look at some of their younger players as well. The future of the team. Give these guys some opportunities, a chance to really shine. You don't have to put too much pressure. He can hit, you know, seventh, eighth in the order. No problem with the rest of this lineup of veterans. You could put a Tirso Ornelas out in left field or an Eggy Rosario if he's the guy and go with the potential breakout performer. And that, to me, at least from a fan perspective, I'm actually more excited than that, than the, you know, the Jason Hayward, Connor Joe. Yeah, okay, solid big league guys, but, you know, unspectacular, you know, yeah, solid defense from Jason Hayward, but getting older. For me, the excitement comes with the young players and the promise and the potential that they bring to the table. However,
I think the interesting thing, and this might be what you're going to say, is that AJ, I feel like tends to err on the side of the more known, you know, option veteran type. But I'll let you continue with your however.
I'm wearing my however shirt. I had to take my sweatshirt off today because the however shirt that I got at our Christmas, our extravaganza, is very appropriate here. So I just decided, like Superman, tearing off Clark Kent, I've got my however shirt. Because I think, however, if you think like AJ Preller, you have a fairly known roster, what you've got between Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Xander Bogaerts, you've got the veterans out there, that it's probably smarter to augment that with another known commodity. Yeah, you know, the ceiling is probably higher right now on Tirso, but the floor is a lot higher for Jason Hayward. Yeah, maybe he completely has nothing left in the tank, and that's certainly a risk, but
right.
You know what you're getting, a veteran presence, a guy who plays solid defense. He's not going to make a ton of mistakes. You know, is he going to hit 300? Absolutely not. Is he going to hit 40 bomb? No, no chance. That's not going to happen. But you know what you're getting with Jason Hayward. You know Connor Joe is going to give you some good at-bats, whether it's in left field or first base as a DH. He's going to draw some walks. He's going to work the count. He's got a good eye. Is it sexy? No. It's not sexy, but it is something that a team like the San Diego Padres does need, and maybe the boring choice is the right choice here for the San Diego Padres.
I also think for as good as Tirso has been this spring and for as good as Eggy has been this spring, I think you do have to remember that there have been opportunities for the Padres to get those guys in the mix and more involved and more regular at-bats in the major leagues. And they've not done it, right? I mean, let's not forget Tirso last year. There was a period of time where it looked like certainly he was going to get called up and make his major league debut and maybe have the ability to get some regular at-bats, and they decided not to do it. So, you know, I don't want to read too far. You know, spring training is spring training, right? And you don't want to go either way with it. You don't want to overreact to the bad. You don't want to overreact to the good. You know, I sometimes have wondered, despite Tirso having a great spring so far, how the Padres actually view him and if they really view him as somebody who could, on opening day, be a starting left fielder and get very regular at bats, because part of me feels like he's been in the system forever. They've had opportunities to hand him at bats and they haven't done it. And same thing with Eggy a little bit too, even though the opportunities maybe haven't, you know, really been there beyond a part-time role. So I think you got to try to not to overreact either way. My inclination would probably be that this is going to be more of a Jason Hayward type situation, at least early on. And you go from there and you see what he's got left in the tank. That's what I think will probably happen. But I understand from the fan standpoint, Ben, that the more exciting option is seeing what you have in a young guy who you think has promise.
And again, you can always bring up a guy like Tirso later.
Of course.
And, you know, Jason Hayward, though, you gave him a major league deal to probably be your starter at the beginning of the season. I think it would be an upset if anyone but Jason Hayward was out there, especially if he's, you know, up there against, you know, as a right-handed pitcher, whatever. I would be surprised if it was someone other than Jason Hayward. But Tirso's been playing really well. I need money in the chat. Says having some thump at the bottom of the lineup sounds pretty good. Who is the thump, though? Is Jason Hayward the thump, or is Tirso Ornelas the thump, or is Eggy Rosario the thump at the bottom of the lineup? I agree. Thump sounds good. I just don't know who.
Yeah.
And you're right, Sammy. The internal assessment, especially of the younger guys, you know the internal assessment of Jason Hayward. They wouldn't have signed him if they didn't have a pretty solid internal assessment of him and Connor Joe. For the minor league guys, though, you know, their stocks rise and fall, and you're just not sure what AJ and his scouting staff really think of Tirso. Is this a flash in the pan moment, or is this the budding start of what is going to be a really good major league career?
Yeah, Tirso's been around, you know, just to focus on him in particular, he's been around a long time. So, you know, I don't know how much a great spring will adjust what their internal evaluation is of Tirso and his ability to perform at the major league level if he does get regular at-bats. Again, I would just make the point that last year they put him on the 40-man. There was a period of time, Ben, where it looked like he was going to get called up. It made sense that he was going to get called up and get that opportunity, and they never did it, and he's been around a long time. That's not to say that Tirso is not going to get that opportunity one day and run with it. He might. I hope he does. But, you know, again, both ways on spring training, I think you got to pump the brakes a little bit. And I'm with you. I'd be willing to bet that they try the Jason Hayward part of this and see what they got in him. And, you know, the likelihood is probably that somebody like Tirso starts the year at AAA and then he gets that opportunity later on in some capacity.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it earlier and Nick in the chat pointed out it's probably Chris Sale in the opener. So you won't necessarily have Jason Hayward in the lineup, but I'm talking about kind of the general against righties, going to have kind of everyday guy. Probably Jason Hayward, at least to start the season. All right, we'll come back. Bob Scanlon's going to join us. We'll play a little real or fake. And here's a question. Does Dave Roberts deserve to be the highest paid manager in baseball? I see some Dodgers fans in the chat. You know, I think it's a legitimate question to ask, and they're talking contract extension with Doc. All of that ahead with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.